It's time for TY's 20, your monthly sports podcast right here on WordPress Radio. I'm your host, Tyler Smith. In just a few minutes, I will be welcoming Chris Goff to the program to talk some hoops. We're going to have an all-Indiana basketball show today as we talk about the midseason reports for both the Indiana Hoosiers and the Indiana Pacers. There's a lot to talk about for both of those teams. But before we do that, I wanted to talk briefly about the NFL. The stage is set for the Super Bowl. The Ravens and 49ers will meet in New Orleans. And one thing I've been tweeting about all year is that the team that goes on to win the Super Bowl is hardly ever the team that starts the regular season red hot. I mean, if you look back, I'd say about the last 15 years in the NFL, it's usually a team that gets hot in the postseason. And if you are a one seed in the NFL, you only get to the Super Bowl about 52% of the time. And so even though you get a bye week and you have home field advantage and all the stuff that comes with being a one seed, barely over 50% of the time will you make a run at the Super Bowl. Now, you're definitely not going to be upset as a fan if your team starts the season off, let's say 6-0 or 7-0, something like that. But it's something to keep in mind for future reference. You know, everybody was all about Houston and Atlanta earlier in the year, and I warned fans of those teams that those teams are probably not going to be going to New Orleans, and that's what ended up happening. Should be a good Super Bowl. As a Colts fan, can't say that I'm too upset that Tom Brady did not make his record-setting Super Bowl appearance. He'll have to wait another year to try and break that record. I'm also encouraged once again by the Colts in what was supposed to be a rebuilding year. They only trailed the Ravens 10-6 at halftime on the road in the playoffs, and now the Ravens are AFC champions and headed to the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl, you'll have to check out my Twitter page at sports_tys_20 to see my prediction for the game. I'm probably going to take the next week or so to really look at the matchup and injury reports and things like that, and then make my decision from that point. Right now, Baltimore looks like the team that is the team of destiny. There always seems to be one of those in the postseason, but the 49ers are right there with them. And the last note I want to make about the NFL, something I tweeted yesterday: in the last 12 Super Bowls, there have been 11 different teams from the NFC that have made it. The only exception is the Giants, who have been there twice. That is an unbelievable stat and a huge reason why the NFL is so popular. Look forward to seeing what happens in this year's Super Bowl. And now it's time to talk some hoops. Please welcome to the show IndySportsLegends.com writer Chris Goff. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, Tyler. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Usually when we have Chris on the show, it's to talk Pacers, but Chris is going to do double duty with us today. He covers both the Pacers and the Hoosiers for IndySportsLegends.com, and so we're going to talk about both teams. Let's start, Chris, by talking about the Indiana Hoosiers. Of course, coming into this season, they were ranked number one. Crazy high expectations. They've lost two games at this point, 16-2 overall, 4-1 in the conference, ranked number seven now in the new AP poll. What are your thoughts about this team so far? You know, it seems like the fan base expects them to win by 30 points every game, no matter who they're playing, and I think that's a little bit unrealistic. So there are some fans getting a little nervous about this team because of the losses. I'm nowhere near panic mode at this point, but what are your thoughts so far on this team, and do the fans have anything to worry about?
Well, you know, fans get number one ranking, and they get this false sense of security that there's a giant gap between their own team and all the rest of the teams in the country, and that's not totally true. I mean, there are 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that could legitimately say they have hopes to win the national title, and I think Indiana is right there with them. I haven't seen anything that would convince me that IU can't win a national title. Cody Zeller has really stepped up his game in Big Ten play. They play really good defense. Victor Oladipo is kind of IU's version of Paul George. He's blown up as a defender, as a scorer. He's even making three-pointers, which is just crazy. But IU is just a team that likes to play up-tempo, and when they get in a game where there are fewer possessions, and when there are fewer possessions, you miss more shots, you leave yourself vulnerable. But they've lost to a couple of good teams, 16-2, and their two losses are to Butler and Wisconsin. That's still a number one seed resume at this point in the season. If they can limit their losses to like two or three the rest of the year, they'll get a number one seed. They'll possibly play in that Midwest Regional, and that sets them up really well to go to the Final Four. once you get to the Final Four, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, the concern that some Indiana fans have is a little bit irrational, I think. Will Sheehy's going to play better. The bench is going to be better. Remy Abel's going to start contributing again. And eventually, I think they'll look like the team that we all thought they were. They may not lose another home game in Assembly Hall all season. You know, 14-4, 13-5 in Big Ten play could put you in position to win the conference. And we know IU's had struggles in the Big Ten tournament, but I don't think the Big Ten tournament is going to make that big a difference for IU this year. So, at 16-2, I think fans should be pretty content with where they are because they're going to get some improvements from Yogi Ferrell. Hunter Mascara Perea will get more comfortable. And the team is not going to have off-night shooting again like they did against Wisconsin. That's just going to be a rarity. So I really don't see the concerns that some fans have.
Yeah, I think fans need to keep things in perspective a little bit. It's January. It's not March. This team's going to get better. They're tied for the least amount of losses in the best conference in the country. And for all those fans who say that the road wins don't mean much simply because they played bad teams, keep in mind this team went 3-6 on the road last year in conference play. They're 3-0 right now. So that should tell you all you need to know about that. You definitely touched on the bench. I think Sheehy especially is going to snap out of his funk and once again become one of the nation's best bench players. And I think this team is still learning how to handle expectations, how to handle being a Final Four favorite kind of team. People forget sometimes that these are 18 to 21-year-old kids, and they're playing on a team that has not had these expectations in a long time, and everyone's going to bring their best against them. And so are there, you know, some things to be concerned about? There definitely are, but I think you could say that about every other team in the NCAA as well. There's concerns everywhere you look. That's just part of it. And also last year, people were freaking out over some bad IU losses. And then later on in the year, fans were thinking, hey, this is a Final Four potential team. So I just want to encourage fans, don't freak out over every loss or every bad half of basketball. This team's probably going to lose 4 to 6 games this year like we thought that they would. Plenty of things to work on, but no need to go to the ledge every time they don't win by 50 points like you think they will. Chris, what about the players themselves? You talked about a few of them, but who has impressed you the most so far? Who do you think needs to step it up a little bit?
Well, Victor Oladipo, I don't think there's any question, has been the guy who has outperformed his expectations by the most this season. When you talk about shooting nearly at a 50% rate from the three-point range, you know, he's not a volume guy like a Jordan Holmes, but to make that shot just opens up the drive for him because the defenders have to inch out closer. And he's getting to the basket, finishing as well as anybody else in America. You know, he gets tons of deflections. It's Tom Green's favorite stat. He talks about deflections in almost every press conference. And Victor Oladipo, the team tracks this. I think he's got like 50 more than anybody else on the team. It's crazy how many times he gets his hands on the ball defensively, and that triggers IU's fast break and everything else. So if you look at disappointments, there are very few of those. I know Will Sheehy has scored, you know, 14 points in the last 4 games, which is far below what you would expect from him, but he'll bounce back. I think that's just a temporary swap. Where they really need to get some improvements from Yogi Ferrell, I don't think he's quite the uber star that some people expected him to be. You know, he has some really good games, like he did against Minnesota when he had 13 points, 8 assists, and just sort of facilitated all of that movement. In the Wisconsin game, in the Penn State game, in the most recent game against Northwestern, Yogi wasn't really involved. And being involved for him doesn't mean he has scored 10 or 12 points, but he needs to get 4 or 5 assists, and he needs to create some opportunities when the offense gets stagnant. When people are standing around, when the tempo is slow, that's when the point guard has to step in and take the reins and get guys moving again, get the ball moving, make some plays happen late in the shot clock. And Yogi's not at that level yet. You know, he's just a freshman, so you go easy on him. But for IU to get to where they want to go, you know, his speed and his ability to handle the ball and break defenses down needs to be a factor in the half-court offense and throughout the game. I think it eventually will be, but Yogi just hasn't reached that level yet.
Yeah, I'm right there with you when it comes to Oladipo being the most impressive player for the Hoosiers. And, of course, Zeller, especially in conference play, has been playing great. I'm going to go a bit of a different direction in terms of disappointment, and maybe disappointment's not the right word because these guys are still playing very well, but I do hope and do expect a little bit more out of our seniors moving forward down the stretch. I'm not one of those Christian Watford haters that some people are, but he and Holes, I think, they have been here for 4 years. I think there needs to be a little bit more leadership out of them, you know, knocking down free throws late in games, making big shots, not having those, you know, 3-for-9, 3-for-10 type games too often at least. And, you know, these two guys occasionally will turn the ball over. Holes is never going to be a good defender, but the rest of the way, I hope to see more out of these guys. And I think we will see more out of these guys as the season goes. Last question I'm going to ask about IU, and then we'll move on to the Pacers. Do you think we know who this team is, or are we still waiting to find that out?
Well, I think the identity is always going to be offense. It's always going to be about, you know, getting up and down the floor, getting shots at an extremely high rate, getting to the free throw line, you know, Cody getting to the free throw line. But as far as what they can be, I think they can be a national title team. I just think they're missing a little bit of that killer instinct where they know when to put, and Tom Crean has talked about this, they have to know when to put teams away. They have to sense when that run is coming from the Golden Gophers in the second half and, you know, lift up their energy. You know, they have to not commit silly fouls down the stretch of games. And I think some of that is going to come when the bench gets better. I think this team's identity will fully crystallize when they start to get contributions from Derek Elston, you know, once he's healthy, from Jeremy Hollowell, once he's healthy, from Remy Abel, once he's, you know, found his rhythm again, because that's going to allow the starters to, you know, have mental breaks when they go sit down for just, even a couple more minutes. They'll get that mental rest, and they'll be fresher throughout the game, because I think Indiana's had problems focusing for 40 minutes. That's why you see one good half and one bad half, because there's so much pressure on the starting five. With, you know, Tom Crean not able to trust his big men off the bench, that those guys get a little bit worn down in the course of the game. But Indiana's a really good defensive team. I know Jordan Holes is a weak link, and that's always going to be the case. But in late-game situations, Tom Crean always has the option to use Will Sheedy. So this is Cody's team. This is a Final Four contender, and I think they pretty much are what they are. They need to decide if they want to, you know, make sure that they take some more three-pointers because they hit them at such a high rate. I'm not a fan of games where they only take 8 or 9 attempts. I think that lets defenses off the hook. But they want to pass the ball a little bit better as well, and those two problems are correlated and will help correct one another. But for the most part, Indiana is what it is. Jordan, as you alluded to, Jordan Holmes and Christian Walker are seniors. Cody Zeller's got a lot better defensively, but he is what he is offensively at this point. I don't expect them to go and try the three-point shooting and the jump shooting and all that stuff they talked about in the offseason. I don't know whether it just didn't work in practices or what, but I don't expect them to go back to that. So what you see is what you get, and what you've got now is pretty good. And, you know, if they beat Michigan for the Big Ten title, you know, fine. If they don't, I don't think that changes the outlook either. It's all about March. It's all about the NCAA tournament. And Indiana's a real contender. Unless they have a devastating injury, that's the outlook for them.
Once again, I agree with you, and we talk like it's the midseason. The season's actually probably just getting ready to start for this team, because there's still 13 conference games left, a conference tournament, and then, of course, the big dance. And like you, I think at the very least this is a top 10 team, a really good outlook, a really good opportunity, and that's all you want at this point in the year. So I encourage IU fans to enjoy the ride, and hopefully we continue to get better. And it's going to be a fun season to watch. I'm excited to see how it all plays out. Chris, let's move on and talk now about the other Indiana team in terms of NBA, I should say, the Indiana Pacers, who are also at the midway point in their season. Chris, when you and I did the season preview a while back on the show, we were both unaware at the time that Danny Granger would miss so much time. He still hasn't played a game yet this year. Might be on his way back in maybe 2 to 4 weeks' time from now. Yet here we are at the halfway point of the season, and the Pacers find themselves as the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. How has this team been able to put together this kind of record without their leading scorer?
Well, it's certainly a stunning record at this point, especially when you consider that they were 10-11 in their first 21 games. In the next 21 games, they're 16-5. It's just been a complete and sudden transformation to where they virtually stopped losing altogether. It's very simple. It's one reason. They play awesome defense. This is the best defense in the NBA, and they're great at nearly every aspect of it. They stifle half-court sets. They defend the three-point line. They're fantastic in transition. Their emphasis is to shut off the paint. Roy Hibbert's a big shot blocker down there, so they do that successfully. So that's really what's allowed them to get to 2 games over .500 without Danny Granger, which, you know, few people thought was possible back earlier in the year. But here we are. It's happened. And Paul George has sort of filled Danny Granger's role, you know, as a scorer. George Hill has adjusted to the point guard position. And David West went back to being a little bit of a player that he was in New Orleans. And so combine all of those factors together, and Danny Granger's absence hasn't really had any effect at all on Indiana's record. They've had, outside of his absence, they really haven't had anybody get hurt either, which has also been another huge contributing factor to their record. You know, without Danny, they had very little room to have other injuries, and they haven't. So they're right where they want to be, and with Danny Granger comes back, it's going to be a really scary team for the rest of the league, particularly in the East, to deal with.
Yeah, the defense has been just amazing, and you touched on David West. His improvement from a year ago, as well as Paul George's expected improvement, was the basic two reasons why I thought Indiana could even contend for the top seed. I did not know that Granger would be out this long, however. But at the time, when I found out about Granger's news, I knew it would be a help to Paul George and Lance Stephenson, but I also feared it might ruin this season, and that just does not appear to be the case. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, because the 8th seed isn't actually too far behind the 3 seed, but it looks like this team, especially if Danny comes back healthy, might be one of the biggest threats in the entire Eastern Conference. Now, beating Miami in a playoff series would still take a semi-miracle, but this team could be dangerous, and if they get the right seed, who knows? Maybe the conference finals aren't out of the question. It's really exciting as a fan to even have that as an option. The defense has been so good, though. ESPN just did an article about it. Said the defense is so good that even if the Pacers can have an average offense, they'd be a playoff threat. So we'll see if Danny's return can improve the Pacers' offense to that degree. Let's talk about the division a little bit. Derrick Rose also is on the comeback trail. Not sure if he'll get back before or after Danny Granger. But how do you think that changes the dynamic of the division as far as who's going to win, Indy and Chicago? What kind of race do you think we're about to see?
I think Danny Granger is going to get back first, so that's a help to Indiana. I think Derrick Rose, I don't expect him back until March. I think Indiana will be ahead in the division at that time, maybe a couple of games, and then we'll see, you know, from early March to the end of, you know, whenever the season ends, mid-April, I think, if that's enough time to hang on to the division for Indiana. Whichever team doesn't win the division will probably end up with a 4th seed or a 3 seed, either way. I'd even say Indiana will probably win the division, even adding Danny Granger and Derrick Rose back to both sides, because what Granger does for the Pacers is, it's another three-point shooter. Right now, Lance Stephenson is their best three-point shooter at nearly 40%. I'm not sure if that's sustainable, because Stephenson's past history would suggest that's a fluke, but Granger gives them another option on the wing, and he doesn't turn the ball over, which is huge for Indiana. So I think I would give the Pacers a slight edge, but it's going to be really close. And any time two teams are close like that, it's really anybody's guess who won the division. But it's down to those two teams. I don't think Milwaukee is a factor, even though they've been better under Jim Boylan since Scott Skiles left. Milwaukee could still do a trade for one of the many pieces that are out there. I don't know if Josh Smith would interest them, but whatever Milwaukee does, it's not going to be nearly enough to get up to Indiana's level or to Chicago's level.
You mentioned Danny Granger. Final question for you today, Chris, for the Pacers here. What do you expect from the team when Danny Granger returns? How do you think it's going to affect Paul George? I tweeted the other day that he's been taking 17 shots a game in the last 2 months after only taking 9.5 last year. Will this still be viewed as Danny's team? Is there going to be any problem? Is it going to take some time? What do you expect when Danny does come back here in less than a month?
It's not going to be Danny's team the way it was in the latter years of Jim O'Brien. In fact, it's barely going to be anybody's team because they're so balanced in the starting five. And I do expect Danny Granger to return to the starting lineup. Some people have suggested he could come off the bench, but I just don't see that. I think Indiana's going to try to win with just a tremendously huge lineup with Paul George back at shooting guard. And based on the comments of Frank Vogel over time, if you listen to Frank closely, I think that Danny is not going to have offense run for him. I think he's basically going to be a spot-up shooter for the first, week or even couple of weeks because they have that luxury. And they don't want to disrupt what Paul George is doing. And Danny can be really effective in that role. Where Danny gets in trouble is when, they run isolation plays for him and he settles for those long, contested, jumpers. He's a great catch-and-shoot guy, and I think he'll be really useful that way because Paul George is getting to the basket, attacking defenders. He's making plays for his teammates. David West is doing the same thing, passing the ball around, picking up a lot of assists. So if Danny Granger can just move around, behind the three-point line and stroke threes, it'll be a really positive development for Indiana's offense, and I think that's what's going to happen. Once Danny is up to full speed, and there's some question of whether this injection procedure actually works. He had the injection back on November 6th. If he's back mid-February, it will have been 3 months. It's supposed to have taken effect by then, but there's no guarantee. But if he is back to full speed, I think he'll be maybe a 15-point scorer, and, Paul George will be something similar to that. He'll sort of split the load on the wing. David West will continue to carry the load inside, and I think you'll see Roy Hibbert's role offensively decline even more to the point where they won't run post-ups for him. He's going to have to get his points off offensive rebounds and loose balls and plays where he just comes open underneath by virtue of a help defender being drawn away. And I think Indiana's offense will be better. It's going to be a good thing. They're not going to finish next to last in the league in points per possession with the starting lineup of Danny Granger, David West, Roy Hibbert, Paul George, and George Hill. I just don't think that's possible. They're too good.
Yeah, fans have been talking for years about how they feel Danny Granger would be best served as a second or third option, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen. At this point, Paul George has taken over as legitimate number one. And the way David West plays, especially late in games, Danny Granger could be that spot-up dangerous option like you were talking about. So I think Danny makes every aspect of the team better. Even he's a good defender as well. He's a smart player. I think he's unselfish. I don't foresee any problems when he comes back other than he's going to be cold, maybe for a week or two. When he gets back. But I think it's going to be huge for the team. You move Lance Stevenson to the second unit. Hopefully that will ignite the second unit. Granger helps in three-point shooting. And we have another option for when somebody's having an off night. So it's really going to be a good thing for the Pacers. And Chris, that's all the time we have, but thanks for stopping by. Keep up the good work on IndySportsLegends.com, and we'll touch base with you later in the season.
Hey, no problem.
And that's all the time we have on TYS 20. Make sure to follow me at sports_TYS_20. And for all of our podcasts, check out TYS20.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. And as Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. Take care.